Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio. I'll be your host, the Healthy Voyager, Carolyn Scott. Hello, and welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680 KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. I am Carolyn Scott, a.k.a. The Healthy Voyager from HealthyVoyager.com. So sadly, summer is officially over. Well, not really until the 21st, but, you know, after Labor Day, it's pretty much all downhill for poor old summer. And the stores are already chock full of Halloween stuff and fall decorations, and oddly enough, I'm already hearing Christmas commercials, but so we're in that quarter of the year now. I love it, but summer flew by, and no, wait a second, the whole year is flying by. It's nutty. So anyway, let's move on, shall we? Today's show is sponsored by YogaVive Yoga Chips. By YogaVive are made from the highest quality USDA certified organic Fuji apples using a two-part drying process where the apples are oven baked and then popped to give you a snack that is 100% fat-free and bursting with real apple flavor. Their crispy apple chips come in five different varieties, including original, apple cinnamon, caramel, peach, and strawberry. As a light snack, yoga chips contain nutrients of their fresh fruit essence, making them a healthy part of a complete diet. Yoga chips are made are available in convenient one apple and five apple packs for healthy snackers on the go, like Healthy Voyager. You can find out more about them at www.yogavive.com. That's YogaVive.com. I've done quite a few YogaVive yoga chip giveaways on Twitter, and people just love them. I love them. They really are a yummy light snack, and they're great to throw in your kids' lunch boxes. Now that the kiddies are back in school, today's show will seem apropos. There's so much debate on raising healthy children in today's world, from raising them vegan to declining vaccinations due to fear of autism and all kinds of other stuff. Who can forget this summer has been filled with all the news of the impending swine flu that's permeating the back-to-schoolers, as well as a big push for healthier school lunches. It's also incredibly tough in this economy where more and more we're finding that parents have to work, both parents, leaving meal times up for food on the fly, you know, whatever is convenient, you know, pushing the microwave buttons for some frozen action or just picking up something on the fly. That equals junky fast foods, overprocessed frozen meals that kids can prep themselves or parents can pick up and just serve and then get back to work or do whatever it is that they're doing. So all of this contributes to poor eating habits that follow children through their adult years. There's no denying that the child obesity rate has continued to skyrocket, and as does early onset diabetes and a slew of childhood diseases that have stemmed from lack of healthy eating options and good role models for children. And today's show is going to focus on just that, messages of health and compassion in children's entertainment. This generation is the most connected of all, from hours and hours of internet to texting and online gaming. These kids really don't get out and exercise as much as they used to, as much as we used to. Sure, there are a few that ride their bikes here and there and skateboard, and that's still pretty prevalent, but it's much less frequent than the generations that preceded them, like mine. And all of this is due to the cyber world, which comes chock full of messages from advertisers and even from the programs and games themselves. Cartoon time slots are filled with images of fast food, processed convenience foods, sugary cereals, and the shows also depict the children eating mounds of sweets and ice cream and sodas and using it as rewards and all that stuff. I even remember, and this is just nutty, seeing a cartoon a few years back that floored me. The show was about these kids that were kind of like vigilante, crime-fighter-y kids, something like that, and the cows in their town had disappeared. So they could no longer get the meat and dairy for their meals. That was kind of the crux of the show. So throughout the 22 minutes, because, you know, 30-minute show is like 22 minutes, really, the lead characters over the 22 minutes were withering away to nothing, you know, weak due to their lack of their staple foods. And it was definitely an obvious message. At the end, when they discover the cows and catch the bad guy, this was just insane. They chew the meat right off of the cow, and the cow was like, go ahead, eat my side of beef. I mean, what the what? It was just nutty. And it was on primetime Saturday morning cartoon. It was nutty. And even if I wasn't vegan, I would have thought that was just bizarre. So, you know, like it was like that cell phone commercial where the pigs are eating ham. I mean, it's just crazy. So anyhow, I think that's kind of impressionable for a kid to watch a program such as that. Sure, it's a cartoon and sure, they're meant to be ridiculous and suspend disbelief, blah, blah, blah. But I did start to notice that the sponsors and commercials were either Got Milk commercials, the Incredible Edible Egg and Go-Gurt and all that kind of stuff. And, I, you know, it just it's weird. So again, advertisers and the programs have an agenda. I mean, heck, so do I. But, you know, it's all about social responsibility. And especially when it comes to kids, because they're so easy to convince. And I'm all for free speech and hearing both sides and allowing people to decide for themselves once they have all of the information to do so. But, you know, the other side is well overshadowing our side because I happen to think there's some deep pockets there to help them shout louder. So hopefully, little by little, our side is going to be able, you know, and not just the vegan side, but the health side in general will be able to shout just as loud and get their message out so people are fully informed. So little by little, I am starting to see some healthy messages being thrown around in children's programming, but it's still kind of basic and shown in a way that parents aren't around to bolster the message. So hopefully parents can start getting the message as well as the kids and working together as a team. Now, now that the kids are back in school, they're filling their little brains with all kinds of information from arithmetic to social studies and how to play nice with others and even figuring out that boys and girls aren't so yucky. While kids are at their highest absorption level, it is best to give them all the information and all of the tools so that they can make informed decisions as adults and can pass it down. Healthy eating plays a gargantuan role in childhood development and is proven to be a contributing factor in helping those with autism, celiacs, ADD, and even simple cognition or information retention, mood, and so forth. So even the simplest things, even if your child isn't affected by some disease, just the simplest things are affected by diet. So I implore you, whether you have tots or not, or are planning on it, to check into programs and organizations that are promoting healthier school lunches and activities for our youngsters. Even if you aren't planning on a family, these guys will be running our country someday when we're old and gray. So make sure you invest in your golden years by investing in healthy, educated chillin'. So take an active role in helping up our kids and be it packing healthier lunches or offering healthier snacks and especially getting them into the kitchen with you. It's like that old saying, you know, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach him how to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. I would say he'd die from mercury poisoning, but that's another show. But you get my point. Introducing your child to healthy cooking habits, bringing them to the market, teaching them how to shop properly. Outside aisles, mainly guys, the inner aisles is where you get the packaged processed food. Also teaching them about food, how it's grown, where it comes from, how it works in your body. All of that stuff will give them more of a connection to what they are consuming, conscious eating instead of zombie chomping. If they see the love that's put into creating a meal and all of that put together with the rest of the information that they've gotten, they will really, really learn more about food than just, you know, stuffing it in your pie hole. So get involved where you can and help support healthy programming and entertainment where and when you can. Now, one person who is doing just that, showing our kids where food comes from and shining the light on the message of veganism in the form of a beautifully illustrated book is Miss Ruby Roth. She's an artist, an author, and a teacher living here in Los Angeles. So please welcome Ruby Roth.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Thank you for coming. I'm very excited that you're here.
Thank you.
So Miss Ruby wrote a book that is wildly popular and is getting all kinds of acclaim as well as, you know, some controversy. And we like some controversy here at Healthy Voyager Radio.
The usual.
The huge. It's Why We Don't Eat Animals.
That's Why We Don't Eat Animals.
That's Why We Don't Eat Animals. So tell us, how and when did you start illustrating?
I've always been involved in art. I took art classes throughout my childhood, all the way through high school. I was taking figure drawing at the local college, and I always knew I wanted to be an artist or, you know, have that in my career somehow. So it's been a lifelong love.
Awesome. And you went to art school?
I went to UC Santa Cruz, which you would think would have a good art department, but I ended up double majoring there because the art department was horrifying. I mean, it's really, really good if you want to build sculptures out of sticks in the redwoods. If that's what you want to do, it's perfect. But I double majored in American studies as well, which I think informed a lot of what I do today.
Cool. And you had been drawing your whole life. So.
Yeah, and I used, you know, that studio time and that major to teach myself and to train and learn the things that I really wanted to learn.
Very cool. Did you ever envision doing children's books?
I didn't. It wasn't ever a thought in my mind till I was actually around children. I had my goals were more the fine art adult world. But I found such a venue with the kids' books for teaching, and my American studies, I think, really informed the stories that you don't get to hear, you know, the stuff your teachers don't teach you. So that filtered into what I did with the children's book.
Very cool. How long did the process take from writing and illustrating to actually getting it on the shelves?
Well, I was teaching in the 2004-2005 school year. And that's when the idea first came to me. So from that moment until the publication in May of this year, it was, you know, 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
A lot of hard work and blood, sweat, and tears.
Labor of love.
Yep.
Very
cool. It certainly was. It was a long process.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back with author and illustrator Ruby Roth to find out more about her wonderful book and some other good stuff she's going to have going on soon.
Have you saved a life today?
I took 2 flood victims to a shelter.
I donated a day's pay to help a family that lost everything in a fire.
Have you saved a life today?
I teach a class in infant CPR.
I donated a pint of blood.
Have you saved a life today?
No, but today somebody saved mine.
The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life. Please call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to offer your support.
Your financial fitness. I'm Deborah Wetzel. It's no secret that money matters can put a stress on a relationship, but there are steps you can take to relieve tensions related to the daily grind of managing finances. The amount of money in your bank account is not always as important as your financial management skills, says Candace Barr from the Women's Institute for Financial Education.
Every couple should take the time to get to know one another's financial personalities and be prepared to make changes based on your new financial goals. Discuss everything from budget setting to payment cards, which increasingly play a bigger role in how people manage and track their personal finances. And the great news is you don't have to go it alone. You can find a wealth of information and free downloadable budgeting tools on practicalmoneyskills.com, a website developed by Visa.
Barr also reminds us that there's no one right way to manage your finances. It's just important to know your options and keep an open dialogue with your partner. I'm Deborah Wetzel.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare. The world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
I don't smoke just one brand. Because I get mine secondhand.
The facts are in. Secondhand smoke causes lung cancer in non-smokers. Remember, it's your life.
I do.
Secondhand smoke.
That's secondhand smoke. It'll make you choke. Well, that's secondhand smoke.
Help others breathe a little easier.
This message from Americans for Nonsmokers' Rights.
Welcome back to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. We're back on with Ruby Roth, author of Why We Don't Eat Animals. So we had just come back from break. Before break, we were talking about the process of the writing and the illustrating and how long it took. What influenced you to write the book?
Well, I was teaching art at an elementary school at the time. And the kids were always really curious about why I wasn't eating, you know, their cheese sticks and the milk that they were being served at recess. And I was a little hesitant at first to tell them. I thought I was going to get in trouble. But I just talked about it, you know, as my choice and what I do and my reasons. And they were so receptive and responsive and curious about it that I started looking into resources for them. And I couldn't find a book that wasn't about a talking animal or a talking vegetable, which I thought they were too smart for this particular group. Mm-hmm. And I decided, you know, there needs to be this book out there. So they were the primary influence. And it was, veganism was such a passion in my life already. Mm-hmm. And I had, was learning so much. And the more you start delving into it, the deeper it goes. And so it sprouted from being in that school with those kids.
Very cool. So this is your first book?
Yes, it is the first book. I helped graphic design my boyfriend's book before, but this is my own that I wrote and illustrated myself.
All solo.
Yes.
Your baby. So how did you go about shopping the idea and getting it made once that you... Did you write it first and then shop it, or was it vice versa?
Yeah, the writing and the illustrations were all laid out before I started shopping it around. And this was a hard sell. I think it was like something insane, like 8,000 words. I was totally out of my mind. I was writing, you know, a chapter book in a picture book format. So there was definitely a lot of editing once I did find the right fit. But I think most people were turned off by the concept entirely. They thought it was just inappropriate and too hardcore for children.
Mm.
And there's nations of people living on plant-based diets, children included, and loving it. And I knew, and I was determined to find the right fit, and I knew one of these publishers, you know, would see the potential for this book filling this void in this niche. And I did. North Atlantic Books published it and had the guts to move forward, and we edited it down, and the artwork was, you know, the easiest part and came most naturally, and there wasn't too much touching on the artwork. It was the text that was the hard sell.
Mm-hmm. So describe for the listeners who have not read your book yet, the book, the story.
Well, it's the first book to address directly to children factory farming, the emotional lives of animals, the environment, and endangered species, all in regards to the foods we eat. And I start with pets and go to farm animals and move out into the oceans and then the rainforest and just talk about both sides, the emotional lives of animals that live free versus what they experience on factory farms, and how that affects, how the factory farming system affects our oceans and our air and the rainforests. So, you know, it's really in the big picture about looking at how our choices have an extensive impact on the planet.
Yeah, it's really a wonderfully written book. And Ruby and I were talking about this during the commercial break, that it's definitely a tough line to walk, whether it's too, yeah, like you were mentioning, hardcore or not getting the message across. And I think it does a wonderful job of really talking about, yeah, the emotional, you know, like I was struck by the pigs, you know, when they are taken away from their mommies, you know, that sort of thing. Like, kids can really relate to that without it being beaten over their head with anything graphic. It's just a sweet story.
Yeah, it does not have to be overly graphic. And I took a lot of care to make it manageable for a child's capacity, you know, and it's nowhere near what you would see if we took photos inside factory farmings. You know, the most you see is crowding and sad animals in cages squished together.
Right. And that's enough for a child to really start to think, I wouldn't like that. And
it makes perfect sense to them.
Yeah. It really is really well done. I was like, I was, when I first opened it, I was like, oh, what am I going to see? You know, would I show this to my children someday? And I absolutely would. I think you did a great job of.
Thank you. Yeah, I think there's a lot of fear about talking to your kids about this subject, but I hope this book is a, you know, helpful resource to bridge the subject.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't have to be that gruesome.
Yeah. And you were right. Like when you said that you were at the school and you didn't know how to broach the subject with the kids who were asking you questions, because you're right. Because most people would say, oh, I don't want you, you know, selling your garbage to my kids or
right.
and you, whatever. So I think this was a great way to say, hey, look, this is a nice story.
Yeah, I think that reaction from parents is, you know, they're scared of the subject themselves.
Right. And that's with anything.
If it's too scary,
right.
don't feed your kids the end product. But also, I've never encountered one kid who was freaked out or overwhelmed by the subject. They show just incredible response and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. So have you noticed that non-vegans are receptive to the book?
Yes and no. It's quite mm-hmm. a range. I think these days, if you're not vegan or vegetarian yourself, you certainly know somebody who is. So mm-hmm. I've had a lot of people say, oh, congratulations, you know, I'm not vegan myself, but my sister is. I'm going to get it for her and her kids. And then there's the other end of the range, which mm-hmm. people who are really close-minded and freaked out by the concept of talking about this topic to their kids. You know, the usual haters on Facebook
right.
who keep coming back for more, nevertheless.
Yeah, it's flattering.
Yeah,
it's flattering that you've jazzed them so much. So I'm guessing you became vegan for the animals.
It actually wasn't.
It
was a health thing first.
Oh.
And looking back, even before I made the change, and this you can start to see how layered and complex the meat conditioning is. I was
right.
such a tomboy, and I associated my tomboyness with meat eating. And being one of the guys, or one of the girls that was one of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first became vegan, it was a complete health experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became about the animals, the more I learned.
Neat. So when and what was that defining moment for you?
It was completely feeling my body starting to run on clean energy, clean fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And it made such a difference right away. I didn't have to sleep as much. I had tons of energy. I lost weight. My skin cleared up. It was like, why wouldn't I live this way?
Mm-hmm.
And so it just stuck.
And it was an experiment at first?
Total experiment. I was getting sick like 6 or 7 times a year with tonsillitis and sore
wow.
throats. And it's, you know, every once in a while now I'll get sniffly, but never like it was before.
Wow. Yeah, I'm telling you.
It was like taking off a heavy jacket and starting to run. It's just a complete difference.
Nice, nice. So will future projects that you are working on be centered around veganism or children? Or
I think they'll always be related. I think it's really important that whatever you do, you use your power in your field, whether you clean houses or you're a makeup artist or you're a lawyer, to use the power that you have in your position to create change. So I'm thinking about book 2, and there'll always be some vegan, planet, animal topics thrown in there.
And for children as well?
Yes.
So is that, you think, going to be your path, doing children's books, or are you going to try to do other stuff as well?
I think there's such a void there in the children's book world, and usually when you hear about veganism, it's in an adult dialogue. So it makes me really happy to include kids, especially when they show such clarity on the subject.
And, right.
You know, they're so astute, and it's a powerful group. I mean, I learned that in Los Angeles, our high recycling rate was due largely to the education of elementary school children who went home and, you know, quote unquote, radicalized their parents, taught their parents what to do. So it's a powerful demo, and they can't make choices if they don't know there are any.
Right.
So I'm glad to be, you know, in this field.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, like I said earlier, I mean, these guys are going to be the ones running the country someday. So
yeah.
Why not give them the tools to be healthy and make good decisions on health and green and all that stuff? Because they really are so impressionable, and give them positive messages to make positive decisions for their future as well as our future.
Yeah, I think it's all about what you normalize, you know, what's normal mm-hmm. in your childhood. If you know somebody that's a vegetarian or vegan, that's not an absurd concept.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 20, 30 years ago, yeah. I mean, it was, and I think I read a statistic that 1 in 200 kids are vegetarian mm-hmm. in this country. So mm-hmm. it's definitely.
Yeah, it's growing.
Yeah. And I know that's a big concern for a lot of parents, whether they're vegan or not, and their children decides to be vegetarian or vegan. They're worried about the social aspects of it, you know, going to the birthday party or mm-hmm. packing their kids' lunch. And, you know, I think there's definitely a learning curve for that, and they will experiment, you know, and have something that, you know, their parents might not want them to eat outside. But I think it's so much easier now.
Yeah, there's so many more resources now.
I mean, even when I started the show just traveling back in 2005, I remember going to grocery stores and like Podunk, whatever, and seeing, you know, tofurkey and that kind of stuff. And I was like, wow. So it's possible. They may not have as much selection as we do out here in LA or the other metropolitan areas, but it's getting so much easier. So
and there's a Child Nutrition Act out there right now. They're trying to get vegan and vegetarian options available
in school into the schools. That's great. That's great. And there should be, so that those kids aren't alienated and having to bring their own lunch or worry about, you know, what's available. And yeah, I think in the next 10 years, it's going to be even more, you know, available. And
I hope so.
No one's going to be worried about, oh, my kid can't go to the Dodger game because he can't have a Dodger dog. Well, they have veggie Dodger dogs, my friends. So yeah, it's getting there. So where can we find out some more information on you and your art and your books and stuff?
My website is wedonteatanimals.com, and there's all kinds of links on there. There's videos of kids' reactions to reading the book and the Facebook page and the MySpace and all of the above.
All that interweb stuff.
Yes, it all starts there. WeDon'tEatAnimals.com.
And I'll toot your horn. She's got some nice artwork of her own on her website, which is DrawOrDie.com.
Yes, that's been on the back burner. But
yeah, I can imagine.
We'll get back to there.
Yeah. No, but it is really nice stuff, and I like your style. But yes, we are here to chat about why we don't eat animals. And
yeah,
definitely check that out.
I'm hoping to get children's artwork out there more and more. That's what I'm working on right now, getting some original artwork and reproductions made. So if there's people interested in the artwork, they can contact me through the website.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Ruby.
Thank you.
Stay with us, because after the break, we're going to be playing some tunes in studio with Ari Shine.
You drink it, cook with it, it's there every time you turn on the faucet. But what do you really know about your tap water? Do you know where it comes from or what's in it? You should, and now you can. Your water supplier will soon be sending you a short new report about your water. Look for it in the mail, and when it comes, read it. Don't let this chance to learn about your drinking water go down the drain. Learn more by calling your water supplier or 1-877-EPA-WATER.
Road Rage Crisis Line.
I feel so depressed.
Oh, it's not as dark as it may seem.
But I'm always being pushed down.
You know, recognizing the problem is the first step.
Oh, I recognize the problem. He's always late.
I see.
And I never move fast enough for him. But what can I do? I'm just a gas pedal.
So, he exceeds the speed limit?
Exceeds the speed limit? He runs red lights, he races around other drivers, and then he yells if he thinks they're going too slow.
Well, maybe it's time to start putting your foot down.
Well, maybe it's time he stopped putting his foot down.
An overworked gas pedal might sound crazy, but putting your life at risk by whipping through traffic and running lights is just plain insane. Think about it, and ease up on aggressive driving.
If he keeps pushing me at this pace, I'm bound to run out of gas.
Well, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Keep your cool, and put the brakes on road rage.
This message was brought to you by your friends at AdrenalineRadio.com. Log on, then call. AdrenalineRadio.com.
Hi, this is Richard Karn with a message about how you can help protect the environment. Recycle your old rechargeable batteries. It's easy. The next time you need a new rechargeable battery for your cell phone, laptop computer, or cordless power tool, make sure you recycle the old one. To learn more about recycling rechargeable batteries, call me at 1-800-8-BATTERY or visit us on the web at rbrc.org.
A public service message of this station and RBRC.
Thanks for tuning in to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. I now welcome the creator of many jingles and tunes found on popular children's shows, as well as the creator of my travel and radio show's intro song. He is an LA-based singer-songwriter whose music has been heard on shows like Veronica Mars, Kyle XY, Degrassi, and all over the MTV network. He is open for bands like the Silver Sun Pickups, who rock, Gin Blossoms, Fastball, and many others, and co-wrote the grand prize-winning song in the John Lennon Songwriting Contest. Ladies and gents, Ari Shein.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. So we're chatting healthy kids today.
Yes.
So I think you're going to sing us a healthy show jingle that you wrote, which is kind of how we met, and we'll tell that story.
Yeah. The song's called Penguin Playdate. And it was it's for a show that you were developing.
A friend and I developed. She created it a couple years ago, and she brought me on to be the health consultant because the show is for preschoolers. And again, like we were talking about, instilling healthy messages at a younger age and getting them into the kitchen. And the whole show is to kind of battle childhood obesity and teach healthy habits.
Right.
So it was
super cool.
Exercise and kitchen stuff and reading and dancing and getting active. And so we brought Ari on to do the initial song. We have changed some of the ideas since then, but this was a great song. And we'll definitely hear some good grown-up stuff from you later.
It's very cute. I hadn't checked the song out for a while, and it was very cute, and there's all these various little animals that had names in the show, so some of their names are in this song.
Yeah,
so.
Awesome.
Should I play it?
Yeah, let's play it.
Right.
On our penguin play day, we gonna learn about the world. On our penguin play day, new places and new faces to see. On our penguin play day, we gonna learn about ourselves. On our penguin play day, new places and new faces to see. Meet LT the Lager, he's on fire. His friend Pepper's got a list of things to do. There's a Neil named Disco, you see he's ready to go. Lila and Snowflake are here to teach you. On Penguin Playdate, we're gonna learn about the world. On our Penguin Playdate, new places and new faces to see. On our Penguin Playdate, we're gonna learn about ourselves. On our Penguin Playdate, new places and new faces, new places and new faces to see. Healthy snacks, activities, picture books for you to read. Dance around your living room to the boogaloo. On our Penguin Playdate, we're gonna learn about the world.
I forgot how much I like that song.
It's been a cute little song.
It is a cute little song.
I hadn't checked it out for a little bit either.
Yeah. Well, while we're remastering the show.
Yeah.
Then,
tell me about it.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about it, and then we'll bring you back for the new
round
jingle.
Two.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be the same jingle.
I was going to say, you don't know. It's very cute.
It's too cute to let it pass.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I remembered the reason we met, and we brought you on to the development of that show was because you had been composing for some other kid shows.
I've been developing a kid show with a friend at that time, and I've taught English and social studies, and I also taught third and fourth grade. We'd always write songs in class and stuff like that, so I kind of just as part of I always just writing kid songs just seems like writing like any kind of song, just being a little bit more, you know, kind of in the mindset of the kids. My friend Gabby and I wrote a song for a Guatemalan theme park called Micropolis, Little City. It's a very cute little song. And it was it's about a place where kids can kind of grow up and where they can be grown-ups for a day within this theme park. It's a real place in Guatemala. And they go there and they learn how to be a fireman. They learn how to be all these different things. So we wrote this little song for that right around the same time. And Micropolis is, you know, we had all these kids from next door sing on it and stuff like that. So it's kind of fun.
Awesome.
It's kid stuff is very fun.
And I know that you had, just before we met, written something for some cartoon and there was like broccoli or something in it.
Okay.
Yeah, something healthy.
There was a whole series of characters kind of similar to Penguin's Play that a friend of mine was developing, and it was also the same themes, eating healthy and all that kind of stuff. And so there was one song where there was a broccoli character, and his broccoli. It was like his afro. It was really cool. That show was also in development, so I don't want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
too
of course
much
not.
About it, but it was a friend's show.
Well, how much of that do you see nowadays? I know now your more grown up stuff is kind of really taken off, which is phenomenal, and I'm excited, and because I got to know you before all that stuff, and how much did you see or do you see now with health messages in like the kids' songs that they ask you to write? Are any healthy shows being developed?
You know what's funny is. I think in general there's an overall kind of it's more part of the tone of things now. I think that there's that green is very big and health is big, and I think that writers and producers try to, if there's an opportunity, integrate it. It's still not, you know, it's so neat to see someone like Ruby where she's putting it out there. You know what I mean? I think it's still there's still a little ways to go before people are really making shows that put healthy messages at the forefront, but I think it's definitely it's better than it was when I was a kid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's
sure.
definitely better than it was when I was a kid. But I think that Ruby is like that's the direction, that's the new way to go. Where you know what I mean? Where things are where like a healthy message and is put at the forefront of it. Where the message is, you know, like the book is basically a Trojan horse to get a very important
message out there.
Yeah,
cool.
Hoping to be more of that. You know.
Yeah, hopefully so. And then you can write all the songs for
the show. And I'd be happy to do it. But yeah.
So tell us, what's the process of writing a jingle or a theme song? How does it differ from writing your own rock stuff?
You know, when I've written for, MTV, like they'll often have a certain show. Like I wrote a bunch of music for a show called Parental Control, which is about it's about parents lining up dates for their kids. Basically, it's really funny. And for that show, they had very specific ideas about, like, you know, they like this band. They kind of want the music to sound similar to those bands.
Right.
Not ripping the bands off, but taking that sound, like, really high energy. Everything I've done for MTV is always, like, they want higher and higher energy. They just, like, just want the stuff to explode. I did a number of cues, but one got taken for the Video Music Awards, and it was like, you know, they just wanted, it had to explode and then explode again and then explode even more, like just really big
head
and really
blows
rock
up.
Yeah, and so and everything is super high energy. And then when writing for commercial type stuff, I've done, you know, there's different companies that pitch ideas to commercials, and they'll usually go to a couple different songwriters, and often they're songwriters who do have their own outside careers, and we provide them with different choices, like a couple different ideas to give to the ad agency, and so those can be very, very creative too. They'll often reference really obscure, not obscure, but odd bands, things you wouldn't expect, like Sigur Rós for one, or for, you know, always more artistic than you'd think. Commercials can be kind of artistic, and so they'll tell you what they want, and you kind of try to provide something that is like that. For, you know, for kid stuff, when I'm, that's more. You know, a lot of those things have been projects with friends, and they've been developing stuff. Or like for Micropolis, it was something that was in Guatemala, where my co-writer Gabby lives. So there, you know, there's a very specific thing. It's about the city,
right?
Called Micropolis, kind of more like Penguin Played It, where it's
right,
like
right.
This is the place, this is the thing. Let's make it about that. And so we had how do you say fireman in Spanish? Bombardier.
Bombero.
Bombero. We had the bombero in there. All these different characters and stuff. It was really fun.
Neat. So obviously there's some creative license, but there's, you know, parameters, like you have to mention so-and-so and this and that.
Absolutely. And, exactly. And for that one, it was like, you know, they, it was pretty loose, but they definitely wanted it to reflect that kids can come here, be grown-ups for a day and experience that. And like, it's kind of fun having parameters sometimes, because you have to find a way to you know, make it sound like a song, not just like you're explaining
right.
The pitch of the story, which isn't, you know what I mean? It's not, it should be artistic feeling.
Right.
But it is also fun to have parameters.
So when you're writing your own stuff, what influences you, like for your own album?
That's a very good question. When I'm writing my own songs, I often take from, you know, personal experience. Lately, there's been a couple situations where I'll be really inspired by a person. And I wrote a song about a person I was really inspired by, this teacher friend of mine named Nina, who's actually teaching in Togo, this small African country right now. And I'm just so inspired by the way she gives to her community and the way she just goes above and beyond the call all the time. So that was one thing that really inspired me. Often, you know, in the past I've written, you know, a lot of, you know, sort of angrier rock songs about various stuff. The last record had a lot of songs about, not so much about the industry, but kind of just about sort of the fakeness of Los Angeles and kind of some of the stuff that I was, you know, seeing in like the whole club world and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that came up a lot in songs. Sometimes just what you're seeing. But my more recent songs have been more just kind of about me personally and about my life and people around me.
Neat. So how long have you been writing and performing?
I started playing in bands when I was in high school. I was like 15. And I was playing clubs, you know, with like, you know, opening for punk bands and rock bands around the time. You know, there's, you know, they were like kind of just regular club shows, the kind of same kind of shows I play now, but I was playing them when I was 15, and my parents would have to kind of give me a little pass to go out for the night. They would I had to fight with them, kind of arm wrestle them, like to ask them, okay, you know, it's, I know it's on a Wednesday night, but we're opening for, it's a really big band, and we, you know, I gotta go. And they became very cool with it towards the end. They're really supportive. But I started then, and I always played music. I played music all through college. I also went to UCSC, where Ruby went,
right.
And you know, I started making solo records in 2005. I started recording my first solo EP, but before that I'd been in lots of bands. I played guitar for lots of people, and it's just sort of what I've always done, and I love it.
And are you from LA?
I'm actually from, well, I was born in Pennsylvania, and I grew up in Northern California, like the Bay Area, sort of near San Francisco.
And how long have you been in LA?
I've been in LA since 2000, so I've been here for quite a while, 9 years almost now.
Yeah.
Been in a bunch of bands here in LA, and played guitar in some, bass in some, but I've always kind of written my own songs as, you know, sort of the backbone of what I do.
And writing crazy kid songs. And
that's been interesting. There's always some, you know, there's always some side fun things that come up that you just don't expect, and that's been one of them.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Ari to ask a few more questions, and then he'll play some good grown-up music for us. So stay tuned.
All right.
Steve, safe tonight, sweet baby, play safe today. Nothing to harm you, baby, danger's far away.
Hi, this is Tom Paxton. You know, fluffy pillows and soft comforters may look harmless, but to a baby, soft bedding can be dangerous. Whether you put your baby to sleep in a playpen or crib, leave out the soft bedding like comforters, pillows, extra padding, and pillow-like toys. These could put your baby at risk for suffocation or SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Always put your baby to sleep on his or her back. And remember, the only soft touch your baby needs is you.
Sleep safe, play safe. Someday when you're grown, you'll have sleep safe, play safe. Babies of your own.
This has been a public service announcement from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Have you ever seen a pet wandering in the streets and found yourself unsure if you should pick it up? How would you help reunite it with its owner? Have you thought about adopting a pet but were unsure of where to go? Hi, I'm Shelley Faberet, here to tell you that now there's an easy answer to these questions as well as a lot more. It's called Pets 911. It's a free public service that enables anyone to access all the information that will help us take better care of our pets. By calling 1-888-PETS-911 or visiting the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org, you can learn how to locate a lost pet or list one that you found. It tells you where the closest adoption facility is, spaying and neutering services, emergency pet care, general health information, and much more. So please call 1-888-PETS-911 or visit the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org and do your part to help ensure a better future for our pets.
Homework, soccer, part-time jobs, the internet. Are you and your busy kids forgetting something? Don't forget music. Hi, this is Faith Hill. Music study is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend time. Time spent in practicing and studying music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All the qualities kids need to be successful in their schoolwork and in society. Let your kids know that music is a whole lot more than what they hear on the radio. And the more they learn about it, the more they'll enjoy listening to their favorite tunes. Then maybe they can explain to you why they think it's so cool. Hey, turn off the TV and play music with your kids.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
Healthy Voyager Radio with Ari Shine here on AM 1680 KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. So, Mr. Ari Shine, songwriter, heartbreaker, rocker, tell us, I know that you're a healthy-eating, gluten-free-eating, Prius-driving dude.
I do drive a Prius. it's funny, I don't entirely eat gluten-free, but my wife is 100% gluten-free. So we our house is primarily gluten-free, and we're finding that it's more and more common these days. But yeah. It's really easy to find gluten-free items, whereas it wasn't a few years back. It was more difficult.
But yeah.
So we try to, and I've found that it does feel good. I do drive a Prius. It's good with touring. it feels like you're leaving less of a footprint when you're touring, you know. And you certainly have to fill it up a lot less.
Yeah.
And, you know, this summer went all over the West Coast, all the way up into Canada and stuff. And Prius was absolutely, it's like an essential tool. I mean, I've been all over the country doing shows in the Prius, and it's really amazing. You can get so far on so little gas. I mean, I wish there's a lot of bands out there that are just 100% biodiesel, and don't, you know, they're like way beyond just using a hybrid, but mm-hmm. I feel like that's a nice goal to
right.
have. There was an artist named Billy Harvey from Austin who toured entirely biodiesel, and he blogged what? About it, and really, really interesting. It's so doable. In fact, one of the festivals that I played over this summer, there was a workshop. It was a folk festival in Canada, and there's a workshop about converting your car to biodiesel. So it's out there in the music community. People are aware of it, and I think that we're going to see more and more bands touring biodiesel. And all it's going to take is one big artist to say, we're converting our whole fleet of trucks for this tour to biodiesel, and it would be
oddly enough, this is totally nutty. I heard that Britney Spears, her whole tour is green.
Really?
I don't know if she had anything to do with it or it's a marketing ploy, but I did hear that her whole fleet of trucks is green. I'm not sure if it's biodiesel or what it is, but I did hear that, and I was like, hey.
It's amazing. And, you know, just the same way, you know, gluten-free has become more popular.
Oh, yeah.
Lately, green is a marketing angle for a lot of these places. I mean, I see it at Kinko's. I see it all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
People put it, they want the public to believe that they're doing something good. And, like, I think that's great that things are moving more in that direction.
Yeah, my show a couple weeks ago was green fashion, green and entertainment, and it is. It's like you're not cool if you're not doing green stuff.
It's real anymore. It's the thing now. It's like totally the thing. I mean, I did use recycled packaging for my records for tour this summer. I hadn't done that before. All the packaging was entirely recycled through a company called Sustainable Group. They offer amazing recycled products, including CD covers, like little CD cases, school supplies, all kinds of stuff. And they look amazing. I can't tell you how many compliments I got just on the packaging. It just, people were, you know, I'd be at a restaurant or something, I have a CD from the show just kind of on the desk or on the table. And I remember one waitress was like, this looks amazing. I would get this just because of the packaging. What is this? And I was explaining to them. And lots of different artists on tour were asking about the packaging, and I told them.
And what was the company?
It's called Sustainable Group.
Sustainable Group. Neat.
It's really cool. It's because I was like, you know, what I really want to do is press, you know, because I've always pressed a lot of, you know, plastic CDs. And like, there's ways to do them somewhat recycled now, but this isn't entirely recycled. You can make the covers recycled, the stickers recycled. You know, obviously the next step would be to have the CDs themselves be recycled.
Yeah.
I don't know if they exist yet or if it's possible to use
MP3 download.
I was going to say the greenest thing is no packaging.
That's right.
Some people still love. I'm kind of old school. I like.
Yeah, having something tangible
to look at. So if there's a way that we could do that and still, you know, use the ample materials that we have.
Maybe download the MP3 and then hologram.
Artists are so creative now. There's, you know, I know people that offer, you know, special online things where you just buy the songs, but you get like, you know, a screensaver, you get a poster that you can print or not print depending on if you want to. So there's lots of ways to do it now. It's cool.
Yeah. What did we do back in the old days? Just our records, our tapes.
Yeah, your cassette tapes, your record, you spread it open, you looked at it, and I think I still like that kind of
stuff. I have a lot of cracked tape covers that, you know, they were on the floor or they would break, and
I'm very much from the cassette generation. I miss that format, but it was kind of, you know, it seems a little kind of
wasteful now.
It does seem wasteful now. And they play, you know, as you played them over and over again, they would get kind of chuddier sounding.
Yeah.
And they would get kind of more muffled sounding, which is part of the charm. There were certain songs where there were little dropouts in the tape, and I could kind of predict them. I remember where they were. So it almost becomes your personal version.
So when you hear it now, you're like, hey, it doesn't sound the same as I remember.
It just takes you right back to that time, too. It's really interesting.
Well, cool. So where can we find out some more about your music, hear you play, how are you, all that good stuff?
Okay. As a, you know, I'm on MySpace at myspace.com/Ari Shine. I have a regular website at arishine.com. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, and very easy to contact if you want me to write something for a show or something. I mean, just contact
stuff.
Me through MySpace. And for my own music, I'm on iTunes and Amazon CD Baby. You can just kind of Google my name, Ari Shine,
and that's ARISHINE,
and and yeah, you can find the records really easily. It doesn't take very long.
Awesome. What, do you have any upcoming gigs? I know you did a bunch of summer stuff.
I did a bunch of summer stuff. I just played last week, and I'm going to be doing a West Coast tour in November, and I'm going to have dates up for that really soon.
Oh.
But they aren't up just yet, but I'm going to be going to Oregon, Seattle, and Idaho, and some other places in November. So it should be really fun.
Well, cool. We are going to hear a song of yours in just a minute. We'll close out the show with a grown-up song now. No more penguins and stuff. but thanks so much, Ari.
Thank you. This is such a neat thing
to
be a part of.
Thanks. Well, I'm excited to have you. And you're a big part of Healthy Voyager. You're my video web series animated
I was gonna say in the other room when the theme song came on, I was like, well, this sounds pretty rocking, like this little guitar. I was like, oh yeah,
that's mine.
I did that music. And it sounded really rocking. I was like, cool, I'm glad. And the other music in between, the station break music was really rocking too. I didn't write that music. Yeah,
that's my friend Dan Radlauer.
That sounded awesome.
Yeah, he does all my interstitial stuff for my videos, like Savannah and like New Orleans. So he does like all these funky styles too.
Yeah,
so.
That one sounded super rocking. I'm gonna have to check his stuff out.
Yeah, he's really funny. He's actually cool. In a klezmer band.
Oh, cool.
If you know what that is. That's,
oh, I'm Jewish. That's
yeah,
my, that's
yeah,
my background.
Yeah, and I was like, what is that? But yeah, he does that. And
it's
then
like
he
our
does,
version
he,
of polka.
And he is so funny. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met. So yeah, check him out. I think it's radmusic.com or just Dan Radlauer.
Dan
Radlauer.
I'll find him.
Yeah, he's great.
Very cool. No, I love that one I heard.
So cool. So make sure you visit WeDon'tEatAnimals.com as well as DrawOrDie.com to find out more info on Ruby and her wonderful art and her book. And check out Ari Shein, and his stuff is on iTunes as well as MySpace.com/AriShein and AriShein.com. Again, that's AriShine.com. You can look for them both on Facebook, and you can also follow Ari on Twitter, which would be great for his dates.
I would love that, yeah.
As for Healthy Voyager, you can follow me on Twitter and healthyvoyager.com and Facebook and all over the internet and the social networking site, Healthy Voyager, passportpals.ning.com. Apparently today they launched some great new apps and, you know, all the crazy games that you can play on Facebook, you can do that on Passport Pals too. So, thank you all again. I thank Ruby Roth and Ari Shein for coming on the show today. Please check out their websites and all their great products, books, and CDs. Tune in next week to AM 1680 KDSV here in LA, as well as AdrenalineRadio.com and AdviceRadio.com, as next week at 2 p.m. I will be chatting with vegan athlete and creator of Vega products, Brendan Brazier, as well as one of the most inspiring athletes I have ever met. His name is Aaron Baker. He will be in studio with his mother and coach, Laquita Conway. You do not want to miss this incredible story of perseverance and strength against all odds. It really is unbelievable and gets me very emotional. It's a really great story. So wonderful guest next week. Make sure you check out today's show as well as past shows on healthyvoyager.com as well as iTunes. So without further ado, we're going to close out the show with a song again by Ari Shein. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you again next week. Have a healthy one.
All right. Thank you.
Gave you my money, I invested in your plan, but you were not a stand. You told me lies, but I ain't no victim. I refuse to play that role, because you live to learn, and someday we'll be wise. Even if it takes a million tries, whatever the cost to keep you in caps, I'm glad you didn't steal all that I had. And whatever I lost to keep you in caps, I'm sure it was the best thing you ever had. Stared in amazement as you drove away my car. How in the world did you take that from me? Under your thumbprint, that is where I made my home. But that's not a healthy place for a person to be. So I gathered up my things and I fled to sea. Whatever the cost to keep you in caps, I'm glad you didn't steal all that I had. And whatever I lost to keep you in caps, I'm sure it was the best thing you ever had. Well, there's more important things than what we earn. People, they have money to burn. But we are not that fortunate. Oh, baby, not just yet. Not just yet. Cause you live to learn, and someday we'll all be wise. Even if it takes a million tries. Whatever the cost to keep you in caps, I'm glad you didn't steal all that I had. And whatever I lost to keep you in caps, I'm sure it was the best thing you ever had. To keep you in caps, to keep you in caps, to keep you in caps.